I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Let me break it down for you again.
With guest host, Susie Schuster, from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Yankee Loon.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider, Tom Pelissero. Basketball Hall of Famer, Charles Barkley. Vibe Check co-host, Chinne Ogwumike. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin. And now, Susie Schuster.
Well, hello there, everybody. Susie Schuster, thrilled to be here with you on The Rich Eisen Show. It's been a while since I was on the family of networks. It was 20 years ago, to say it, actually. It was the, believe it or not, guys, it was the Hawaii Bowl and then a quick overnight flight to the Houston Bowl for the 2004-2005 college football. Hi, everybody. Thrilled to be here with you. If you're wondering who I am, it's a great question. I'm Susie Schuster, a longtime reporter, also married to Rich, so I can't be fired. But that's a whole different conversation. Christopher Brockman, how are you this morning?
Susie, I'm great. It's great to see you. Great to be with you on this program. The 2004 Hawaii Bowl, is that what you just said?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so hold on. I got to look this up. Do you remember who played?
It was the TCU. TCU was the Houston Bowl. Florida. Was it Florida International? Because I think Brandon Marshall was playing.
So it would have been, Christmas Eve 04 or Christmas Eve 05?
04 into 05. I had an overnight flight to get to the Houston Bowl.
So it was actually Hawaii against UAB.
I mean, it was the next year. What do I remember?
I don't know.
Try the next one.
I was just trying to check.
Whatever
this out for
you. It was great. And off I went to the Houston Bowl. That was the TCU Horned Frogs.
Oh, so Nevada against UCF?
That would be the one.
Great game.
And I was told, make sure you don't say Nevada.
Right.
It's Nevada.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
49-48 overtime.
Great game. Great game. And then a quick overnight flight, just a jaunt across the world and a little Houston Bowl. And that was the last time I saw you guys on the family of networks.
Love
but thrilled
it.
To be here with you.
Let's go.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Mikey.
Good morning,
Susan.
TJ the candle is lit. Good to see you.
Welcome home to you too. Then,
well, thank
right?
you.
Yeah, no one said that yet.
This is very exciting. I have to say, for the kid who worked in Bristol, and I did work in Bristol from 97 to 99, I'm kind of thrilled that this came full circle. Mm-hmm. Really happy to be here with you. And as always, I try to overbook and try to compete with the Pelisseros who come in and try to take the chair after me. I try to come in with a strong show for you all. So I went deep. I called one of my oldest friends. When I say old, does that mean I'm old? But I did call Charles Barkley. And in the open, you see Rich look to his side. He looks happy. I think he looks happy because Charles is back on the show because he's not on all that much. But I like to flex. I like to call my friends. I also called Michael Irvin, who happens to be my daughter's godfather. Talk about a great guy to be your daughter's godfather. Can you imagine when Taylor's old enough to date? If somebody comes to the door and it's Michael Irvin, wouldn't you be scared?
Like the scene in Bad Boys 2, TJ.
Right?
Yeah. Like, where are you taking my girl?
I thought my goddaughter had a good one, but I think maybe Michael Irvin might have me beat a little.
I think you might be right. Chinne Ogwumike will be on as well. We'll talk about the Aces and the Mercury and that incredible game last night from Asia Wilson. What can't she do? And I will ask her, can you even guard Asia Wilson? Can you? I mean, her plane, she goes straight up. She goes over. She had that game-winning shot last night. Of course, Dawana Bonner almost got off a shot with 0.3 to go.
It was textbook on how to, execute that play with that much time left. It was very close.
I mean, she almost got that shot off, and it was quite incredible. But, of course, the Aces now up 3-0. They have a chance to seal the deal on Friday, TJ. And I don't know how you stop them at this point. I mean, they won the first game with the bench. They won the second game with Jackie Young and Asia. Now, I mean, last night was a collective effort. They were up by a lot. The Mercury made it a game.
They were, you know, when Satu Sabally took that shot, the knee to the head, that was really scary. When you, you know, she was on the court for a while. She tried to stand up. You rarely see a player go back down after getting up. But that rallied Phoenix a lot. They were, I think they were down 12 at that point.
Mm-hmm. And they gave up 50 in the first half.
Yeah,
50.
And then they rallied around that, and it was like, wow, they're going to come back and win this game. But Asia said, no.
Asia said, not tonight, yeah. But we'll see what happens on Friday. So, Shanae, it'll be great to have her on to talk about this, and also about the quagmire that's going on right now. Is that a good way to put it? We'll also ask Charles Barkley about that quagmire between the WNBA and their commissioner as well. But we do have an NFL game to discuss first. But 844-204 is the number to call. You know I like calls. If you watch this show a lot or if you listen to it, you know that I will pretty much clean the board every time. It's not just because I have OCD. I actually like talking to you all. So there you go. Watch us on Disney Plus on the ESPN app. First time I get to say that. That sounds kind of weird. I kind of like it.
844-204 Rich. Don't forget the Rich part at the end.
844.
You stop
I
short.
Do that every
you
time.
You stop short. 844-204 Rich.
Thank you for that. 844-204 Rich is the number to call.
Hit that.
Never thought about it. Listen
we're also
going to
push for you to have your own call letters when you're here. So we'll have maybe SUZY at some point.
Yeah.
Not yet, but you know, hopefully one day.
I like the sound of that. I like the cut of that jib. Thank you very much. I want, you know, it's
844-204 DGAF. Is that what hers are?
That might be. Yeah, I mean, I think she does.
DGAF?
You
I know what that means,
yeah,
DJ.
Yeah, I think I said Susie, so that's on.
That's true.
Brockman.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I'm bringing the edge.
See, what everyone will know, our new audience is these two do love each other, but every now and then the masshole starts to, you know, like the masshole crime starts to come out with these two.
Listen to us on ESPN Radio, by the way, presented by Progressive Insurance. I got to pay the bills here. Please stop distracting me. Follow us on X on Instagram at Rich Eisen Show. Quiet.
Like
quiet. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. The truth is that when we do the show, people are always like, God, she's really mean to Chris. and I like to watch those two hate each other.
I don't think people think that. I think, honestly, respectfully, Chris, I think most people are like, people should be meaner than Chris, I would think.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way. We're actually closing in on a million. We're at 998,797.
My goal is to bring you over
on the live
edge.
Let's go, folks.
Let's go.
I want to be able to crest that wave. Let's
go. Like and subscribe.
Yeah, that's right. Like and subscribe. The more you subscribe, the more I'll take it out on him. So that's what I'm just saying. Like, we can talk.
The more donuts we'll get, I guess.
Yeah, true.
I mean, somebody said, do they really need the donuts? I think it was Tom Pelissero when I called him. That wasn't very nice. We're nice here.
All right, we got a game tonight.
All right, fine. Should we talk about that? 4-1,
sure,
1-4, and what to expect? And will Saquon carry the ball more than 6 times? I mean, is it a replay of the revenge game? Will we see him go off? And what are you boys expecting for tonight?
The thing is, like, TJ, you get this because you follow this division. You follow the NFC East and the NFC Beast or the NFC Least. Who knows? But weird things happen on, especially on Thursday nights. The Thursday night games have been pretty interesting this year. Yeah. High scoring, kind of weirdly the way they play out. And then you got the Eagles and all their drama. I'm sure we'll get into that at some point today. You know, the running game is now an issue after it was the passing game that was an issue. And is AJ Brown happy? Is he not? Devontae
Smith. Are there team meetings? What's happening behind closed doors?
We got weird team meetings. We got Daboll throwing shots. We got Jackson Dart with kind of an injection of energy, which the team clearly needed. He's definitely got the juice, but then they go down to New Orleans last week and 5 straight possessions with a turnover. They don't look too great. They kind of give the game away, so to speak. And now it's 1-4 and 4-1. Are people taking the Eagles tonight in Survivor? Like the Survivor leagues, that's another factor here. And so I'm kind of ready for anything tonight in the Meadowlands.
I mean, and then there's people who are thinking, like, the season's over for the Eagles. They're 4-1 people. Like, relax. Take it down a notch. I would be shocked if they didn't look great tonight.
I would be shocked if they don't win by two scores,
right,
maybe more. And I would be shocked, TJ, if A.J. Brown doesn't have a monster game.
Yeah, you know, Devonta Smith had a huge game. He had his, like, kind of breakout. Smitty, right. You know, and he's a little bit, he's the quieter of the two, right? You're
right.
Never really going to know that he's upset the way that you know that A.J. Brown is unhappy. So I'm thinking division game, rivals. But over the last 20 matchups, the Giants have won four.
Ooh.
4-16 against the Eagles over the last 20 times they played. So I think this, you know, there's a thing called a get right game, right? And I think that could be the case for the Eagles.
Yeah, Tyrone Tracy is back for the Giants tonight, but what is going to be his workload coming back from the shoulder injury? Scataboo has been interesting.
Yeah.
You know, yards per carry isn't all that great, but he provides you kind of that boom and that juice that dart kind of brings. But who's catching the ball? Obviously, we know Malik Nabers is out. No Darius Slayton tonight. Is it a big Wandell Robinson game? Theo Johnson is the only one to catch touchdowns from Jackson Dart so far, 3 for 3. Do they have enough firepower to keep up with the Eagles offense? Can the Eagles offense get back to that explosion that we kind of saw at the end of last year? We haven't really seen that exciting, high-flying Eagles team. Saquon, what is going on? 6 carries, one in the second half last week.
And the line isn't exactly playing the way the line played last year. And that's the biggest thing that I'm looking at right now. Is it Juergens? Like, what's happening there? Where's the disconnect there? Why isn't the line playing the same way?
But you know, I don't know. But this kind of seems to be the Eagles thing, right? Like, last year they were 2-2. And then everyone's like, what's up with the Eagles after the way they finished the year before, starting 10-1 and then basically losing out, essentially. This is just kind of what they do. They kind of thrive off this type of chaos and drama. Nick Sirianni is kind of the perfect Philadelphia coach for the mood and the mindset of the town and the fan base. Again, I expect Philly to come in just kind of gangbusters and maybe end this one early and we get a big Saquon game.
Saquon revenge game.
Saquon, A.J. Brown. I think Philly rolls tonight, but again, stranger things have happened in division play and especially on Thursday night.
And what about Jackson Dart? You've got a rookie making his first ever short turnaround.
Yeah.
Starting on prime tonight. What are we expecting to see from him in terms of just from that quick turnaround? That's new territory for him.
I think you're expecting him to bring energy. I have a few friends who are Giants fans, and they are excited.
Yep.
Not overall for the season, but for this kid, you know. And that's what you need as a fan base, right? Even when things are going great, you just need something to kind of focus on and have a positive takeaway from. And that's what this kid, him and Scataboo together, man, they're fun to watch. You know, you go on social media, you see videos of Scataboo's teammates like doing impressions of him. And if you notice, he has to wear the juggernaut helmet, I call it, during practice, because I don't think the kid knows any other way but to just go all out. So yeah, if I'm a Giants fan, I'm kind of leaning on these two, a couple great players on defense, but I don't know. I don't think tonight's their night.
But for the hopes to land on the backs of two rookies, think about it. Their offense lands on the backs of two rookies.
Yeah, but that's
crazy.
Wouldn't that give you hope, though?
Yeah.
More than it would be
if Russell Wilson was out there.
Do Susie a favor. If you're a Giants fan, call in. Let us know how you feel. Because, if I'm a Giants fan, I'm looking at that.
Let's talk this out, though. Best case scenario for the Giants tonight. To get a victory, what do they need to do, right? You talked about the exciting defensive players. We know what they got on the front line. It's Brown. It's Thibodeau. It's Burns. Thibodeau and Abdul Carter, right? They have to make Jalen Hurts uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Don't let him extend plays and see what Patrick Mahomes has been doing so well. Scrambling. And getting first downs and keeping drives alive. Don't let Jalen Hurts do that, right? Make A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith uncomfortable, right? Take them out of it early so they are maybe complaining more on the sideline and we see some type of blow up on the side. And then you need to create a big play. Jackson Dart, maybe with his legs. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something over the middle. Maybe it's a deep ball to one of these wide receivers that we aren't really familiar with. You're not starting them in your fantasy matchup tonight. Best case scenario for the Giants is ugly this game up as much as you can. Keep it low scoring. Scataboo, Tracy's back, you're controlling the clock, and maybe you get a game-winning field goal, you know, and it's like 17-14. Not a great game. Al Michaels will complain a lot if it's something like that. Herb Street probably will more shots of his dog, but there's a path for the Giants to kind of steal this and ruin survivor pools and, you know, and kind of just make this. It's been a weird season so far.
Yeah,
the first month and change has been kind of a lot of head scratching results, crazy finishes, and I think if the Giants, you know, want to do that tonight, add to it, you know, ugly it up, TJ.
I echo his sentiments.
I'm not complaining about any more shots of the dog. I'll take all the shots of the dog as I can.
Well, I knew you didn't have her on that part of your statement, but
is Herbie's dog getting paid? I wanted to, like, this dog flies in PJs, like gourmet meals. This dog is like
this dog lives a better life than you do.
Oh my god, this dog is insane.
Abdul Carter got in on it too on the Saquon thing. I like just like I said the passive aggressive like mentality, the vibes they're sending down.
Dayball's
there,
comment
like,
the other day.
Dayball's comment, like, oh
well,
god, so. You know, boy, what a great receiver he is.
He's always open.
He's always open.
Yeah.
And Saquon, I mean, like, why wouldn't you just hand the ball off to him all the time? And
great.
Smitty and my buddy Smitty. By the way, did you watch? I don't know if you saw this or not, but I love this, but. Eli Manning was on Peter Schrager's podcast.
Eli Manning.
Is that your Duvall thing or
No, that's
the Jersey Mike's commercial with DeVito and Eli.
Sorry, Manning, I missed that one.
Lies.
And
Eli.
And he was saying that Jackson Dart, he gave him his number and said, reach out to me if you need any advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy to be there for you. I know what it's like starting behind, you know, a veteran quarterback. Obviously he had Kurt Warner of Warner Wednesdays. And he said the phone rang and Jackson Dart called and he said, can you help me get a reservation at Ford Charles?
Is that a fancy restaurant?
Which is, by the way, a great restaurant downtown. Okay. Apparently serves the best steak in town, serves the best prime rib ever, apparently.
That makes sense.
But it's a really small restaurant in Lower Manhattan. Can you imagine he picked up the phone and called Eli and said, can you get me a reservation? Like he's the most expensive concierge.
Well, one thing's for sure. He gets a win tonight. He ain't going to have to call Eli to get him those resis.
And Eli's point was start winning.
Talk coverages. Yeah. Do you want to talk, being a rookie in New York, what that's like, handling newfound fame? Hey, can you get me a table for two?
Can you get me a restaurant reservation at Ford Charles? Which, by the way, if you're watching Ford Charles, I would like to go too. But I'm just saying, can you imagine? That is hysterical.
It's pretty funny, right?
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, just saying.
That kind of speaks to the moxie of Jackson Dart, right? You know? Like, fearless.
Hey, don't worry. I got the cover, too. I got that cover.
I got it all. I got it all down, man. I just, you know, nobody knows me yet in this town.
Maybe he's taking the lineman out for a nice steak dinner, which would be smart.
The restaurant is the size of this chair. Like, it's tiny. And by the way, I know he's making enough money to do such.
As a rookie?
I mean, maybe one dinner. Then again, I've seen how much those guys can eat. But that said, I mean, the ball. So I'm just saying, I guess if you're the Giants quarterback, you're already brimming with confidence, but let's see you win a couple. And then perhaps, like you said, the ice cream sundae will be yours. I have my priorities. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Tom Pelissero will start this off hot. We'll see whether he's got a hat on or no hat. And Chris will start drooling at the sight of his luscious locks.
Easy.
A lot more ahead on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We are on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen, and it is time to talk to Tom Pelissero. He's going to join us right now here on the Rich Eisen Show. He is en route to take over this show for tomorrow. And Tom, before we talk football, I have to ask you, does it creep you out how obsessive the guys are about talking to you about the head of hair that you have on your head?
I mean, from Brockman's perspective, I imagine any hair is a point of jealousy. So, you know, I hate to flex on him every single week on the show, even when it's messy, even when I'm in travel mode here. Tremendous. It just, you know, it's still got him beat.
You okay over there, Chris? You okay?
You know, I think if you're blessed with that type of lettuce, you should show it off to the people, let the world see it. But, you know, Tom's his own person, and I don't want to judge too hardly here.
Don't judge. I mean, the guys are always mooning over you, and I mean, I know how Rich is about it. So, like I said, thank God our kids got my hair. But anyway, let's talk about football, shall we? Flacco, is he an upgrade?
That's going to be the question here, Susie. The Joe Flacco we saw throwing an arm punt interception in Detroit. Is not that much different than what we've seen from Jake Browning so far, but you know, certainly Joe Flacco is going to have better weapons for him in Cincinnati. He's throwing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. That's a lot different than throwing to, you know, Jerry Jeudy and some young players that they have in Cleveland. You know, Joe Flacco has played in this similar type of an offense before. You know, obviously Zach Taylor comes from working with Sean McVay in the past. Flacco has played with other former Shanahan McVay assistants. He played with Michael Fleur with the Jets, played with Rich Scangarello years ago in Denver, a tenure that I think a lot of people don't even necessarily remember. And the reason that the coaches in that tree like Joe Flacco is it's the arm twitch. It's the ability to see it and rip it and get the football out really quickly. He's not going to extend plays a ton outside the pocket. You know, he's not the most mobile guy, but he can stand in and he can throw an accurate ball. Really what they're trying to do as much as anything is just calm down the turnovers that have really made life difficult for the Bengals to this point in the season. You know, there'd be a difference if we're talking about going out and trading a pick and taking on cash for Kirk Cousins or trading something of significance for, you know, be it a Russell Wilson or a Jameis Winston. A 5-6 pick swap for a guy making very close to the minimum salary is about as low leverage as it gets here. I thought that perhaps they would give Jake Browning another start here, but when you look at how the schedule lines up, if you're going to give Joe Flacco a whole week to try to microwave that rhythm and timing and tempo and understanding the offense and the feel for his teammates, this is the week to do it, because after that you got a short week to a Thursday night game against Pittsburgh. They might practice once at most next week. You know, if you were to lose the next two with Jake Browning, all of a sudden you're 2-5 and there's not a lot of point in playing Joe Flacco. So they're going to take their shot right now, and we'll see what type of impact it makes on Sunday against a Packers team that, yes, the Browns beat with Flacco as quarterback, but if you remember that game, they didn't do a whole lot offensively until late Jordan Love interception gives him a short field for a touchdown. Other than that, the offense didn't do much on that day. I imagine that, you know, Jeff Hafley's sitting there and, you know, basically figured out how to apply, even though we got to cover those receivers differently. We're probably going to attack Flacco very much the same way.
But I think what you're saying about almost calming down the ship, some of the reports out of the camp there were saying that offensive linemen were even saying we're learning so much from him, even in the, like, the quick turnaround. What will having a veteran like that do to kind of quell the issues, maybe give those some confidence? God knows he's not going to go in there and light it up, but at the same time, it's just that steadying man at the helm.
Well, it'll be great as long as they're winning. You know, he can be as steadying as he wants, but if the Bengals put up 10 points this week, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. I think that if you broaden this out to the bigger picture here, remember, this is not, hey, we need Joe Flacco to make a playoff run. This is, we need Joe Flacco to keep us a little above 500 until late in the season and hope Joe Burrow is ready to return.
But bringing Joe Burrow back, do you think that they really can do that?
Yes, if they are in playoff contention, there is an opportunity here. I mean, it's a 12 to 14 week injury is what I was told when Burrow first got hurt. So you're talking about mid-December, if you're pushing it, you know, maybe late December, early January, but somewhere down the line, there is that opportunity out there where perhaps they can get him back down the stretch. And so they're trying to go 500 or a little above. They're not out of it in their own division. Obviously, the Steelers are atop the division right now, and I don't think that anybody's looking at the Steelers as an unbeatable team. You have the Ravens, who are the favorite coming in, and they may have to go out there without Lamar Jackson this week to try to stave off 1-5. When you've got as much money invested, cash and cab, in your star players as the Bengals do, you're thinking about taking our shot right now. And for a Bengals franchise that never makes trades, it almost never makes trades, literally three players in this in season, you know, acquired since 1973, Joe Flacco being the third one. This is, you know, them breaking the mold a little bit and saying, you know what, we can't just say, well, you know, let's just try to make do with Jake Browning. They're trying to flip this thing immediately, and it starts out by going up against the Packers team that's coming off a bye and is really, really talented.
You mentioned Lamar. What are we thinking about a timetable for his comeback?
Once he hurt that hamstring against Kansas City, the logic would always have told you that he wasn't going to play in these first two games. You know, if it was significant enough to, according to John Harbaugh, there's no way he could have come back against the Chiefs. That's the type of hamstring injury that if you were to try to push him out there a week or 2 weeks later, you run the risk of a setback and something that could linger with him all season, particularly with Lamar's play style. You need him to be able to move around. And so if they can get through this game, they then have the bye. That gives Lamar 3-4 weeks total to heal up. There's no reason as of now to believe he's not going to be ready on the other side of the bye. We'll have to see. You know, Lamar's kind of his own character. He could show up on Friday and decide I'm playing this week. But right now, all the signs point toward another week of Cooper Rush slash potentially Snoop Huntley in the lineup, and they've got a really tough task ahead of them on Sunday as well.
Yeah, as a recovering sideline reporter, I'm always happy to talk about soft tissue injuries. What about in Philadelphia? What are we thinking about there with the meeting that looked like it happened on Monday with Saquon, with AJ, with Jalen Hurts? What are you hearing, and is there a there?
Well, I think that in the big picture, and Nick Sirianni alluded to this yesterday, it's a good thing when guys want to talk. It's a good thing when they want to work through issues. You know, the Eagles could easily say, well, we're the Super Bowl champs. We're just going to figure this thing out. Or they can get together and go, all right, how do we as leaders of this team push this going forward and get things going better from an offensive perspective? I personally think that especially on a short week, you're not going to have a lot of practice time to work things out. You're barely even going to review the tape from the prior game. It's got to be your leaders, your highest paid players, your best players need to rise up and drive the change. I mean, you can point very clearly to some statistical anomalies through the course of this season that would tell you why the Eagles offense has been struggling. There's no world in which Saquon Barkley should be getting one carry in the second half of the game. You're up 2 touchdowns. There's no world in which AJ Brown to this point in the season, 5 games in, should have essentially had one productive half of football. Jalen Hurts is playing much the same way that we've seen him play in the past. He's obviously really dynamic as a runner. He can make things happen in the passing game. They're just not clicking at this point. You know, part of the issue with success, Susie, is that every year you're going to lose when you win like the Eagles have won. You're going to lose people. And the Eagles have been in this perpetual cycle of either losing a coordinator or choosing the wrong coordinator and having to move on from him. Every year, going back to high school, Jalen Hurts has had a different coordinator. So the same bumps we seem to see every year from the Eagles in the early portion of the season, they're hitting again. This is a team that seemed to have it all figured out down the stretch of last season. You know, the bar is high in Philadelphia. Anybody else would be talking about, well, they're 4-1. You know, yeah, they got some things to work out offensively. They'll get better at it. With the Eagles, you know, it's DEFCON 1, but, you know, they have all the tools in place. They are a relatively healthy football team. They won't have Landon Dickerson tomorrow night at the Giants. But, you know, this is absolutely a game that on paper, the Eagles should win and win handily. You know, let's see kind of what the philosophy is out of the gate. I'm a longstanding, you know, going back to his days in Tennessee, I'm a big believer that, you know, your offense goes as AJ Brown goes. He's a tone setter. He makes things happen. Yes, Saquon Barkley is a focal point, but the way that AJ Brown can dictate things, when you get the ball in his hands, the juice that gives him and the offense, I would not be surprised at all if they make sure they're getting the ball to AJ Brown early tomorrow night.
And for the Giants, I mean, Brian Daboll had some high-level passive-aggressive Jedi mind tricks. I was wondering what you thought about listening to him sending a message down the turnpike.
I should say tonight, by the way, I'm all lost on what day it is. I'm flying there to host this show on Friday.
Today's Thursday. Keeping the seat warm
the game
for you.
Is tonight. You know, Brian Daboll's got, he's got a lot to, you know, to work through at this point in the season. You know, obviously they made the big switch to Jackson Dart. That gave him some juice going into this thing. This is a division game. These are the games that when you hire a coach in the NFC East, you want to be able to win. All right, short week. You're trying to stay relevant here, stay alive. You got to go out and you got to match them toe to toe. They've got a lot of talent that they've amassed on the defensive side. They're obviously trying to figure things out since the Malik Nabers injury on offense. They get Tyrone Tracy back tonight. They got Cam Scadaboo, you know, rolling pretty well, but they are banged up at wide receiver. You know, no Darius Slayton either. You know, that's not going to make it any easier on a young quarterback. I'll be fascinated to see what Brian Daboll might have to do with Jackson Dart in this game. Do they utilize, you know, his legs a little bit more? Do they run more design types of runs just to kind of get him into the game, get him feeling some early confidence? Because you don't have that Malik Nabers. You can just run a bubble and let him, you know, go to work. You don't have those types of guys. Wandale Robinson is a nice receiver, but you don't have Malik Nabers on your team. So let's see how they try to get that offense going tonight. And I think that that's going to, you know, say a lot about whether or not they've got an opportunity to pull off an upset that, you know, really could kind of launch them as they go into this mini bye this weekend.
How about San Francisco? Are we going to see Mac Jones? It sure looks like it right now.
It does. You know, Brock Purdy, he tried to come back after missing two games. He aggravated that toe injury. Those are tricky. It's not to the extent of the, you know, the Joe Burrow injury that was surgery in 3 months. But still, anytime you're dealing with a turf toe-like injury, there's a lot of different things. Just the flexion of your foot can aggravate that thing and set you back. You know, for Brock Purdy, I understand why he wants to get out on the field. I understand why the 49ers want him on the field. And I, you know, Mac Jones has played really well in his opportunities, but Brock Purdy is the guy that they paid. Brock Purdy is the guy who knows all the ins and outs of this offense. Brock Purdy is the guy who, you know, really unleashes a lot of the different things that you can do. Mac has taken advantage of his opportunity. At minimum, you can sit there and go, listen, we're 3-0 with Mac. You've got time. You don't have to push yourself. Purdy's a competitor. He wants to be out there. But, you know, Mac Jones isn't 100% either. But Mac Jones being close to 100% versus Brock Purdy, you know, running the risk of yet another setback that sets him out for the long term, it certainly seems like the arrows are pointing toward another week of Mac Jones.
And it was interesting to listen to Kendrick Byrne talking about him playing with him, of course, in New England, about how he just sees a much more relaxed player. And I'm curious about you in terms of what you see in him and how he has changed and why you think it's working for him there.
The number one thing, Susie, is Kyle Shanahan. Mac Jones is a classic Kyle Shanahan quarterback. And when they trade up to number three back in 2021, there's a reason that everybody believed it was for Mac Jones. That was a strong consideration for him before they kind of sold themselves on the upside of Trey Lance, had that second workout with him and all that. But if you talk about the traits that Kyle Shanahan looks for in a quarterback, it's somebody who is a fast processor, who is accurate with the football, and that Kyle can make automatic. Kyle Shanahan is as talented as anyone in the NFL at scheming people open, even when he doesn't have Brandon Ayuk, and they traded Deebo Samuel, and Ricky Pearsall is hurt, and Juwan Jennings is hurt. He's still, you watched the game last week, he's still scheming people open. Mac Jones is just, he's a really good fit for that. And, you know, nothing against, you know, what, you know, some of the people that Mac Jones is working with in New England, but there was no consistency. There was not a long-standing, you know, type of a scheme and a process and a plan like they have in San Francisco with Kyle being there almost a decade now. He's in the perfect spot for him. You know, his kind of, his little bit different personality. He's obviously hyper competitive. He's, I know they talked about on the broadcast last week. I heard that coming out in the draft that he was like the John McEnroe of the youth tennis circuit, you know, growing up, that he would break rackets and all that type of stuff. But he's also kind of got this, you know, aw shucks personality off the field. He's a really good fit for what they want to do. It's obvious that Mac is enjoying, you know, every second of being able to get back out there and play. 49ers did a 2-year deal with him, by the way. So they've got one of the best values in terms of their backup quarterback, not just this year, but next year as well. But, you know, bigger picture, you think about the other quarterbacks that have gone through and been, you know, healed, so to speak, by either Kyle or Sean McVay. You saw Sam Darnold do that for a year, goes to Minnesota, then gets paid in Seattle. You saw Baker Mayfield for like 6 games, go to LA, then go to Tampa, and now he's back to being a star. Mac Jones well could be the next one of those. And I think he's also an important reminder when we're quick to write off quarterbacks in particular as busts, and this guy can't play, and they got to get rid of him. I mean, New England shipped him off to Jacksonville for a late round draft pick, and it just, there was no future for him in New England. But there are certain quarterback coaches, and I put Kyle Shanahan in that category, certainly offensive coaches that are just so good at what they do that just the schematics of the thing and the environment that they build, it helps engender that confidence that can put people back on track. And that's what we've seen for 3 games with Mac.
What about Pearsall and Jennings?
Ricky Pearsall has been, you know, every injury that he's had, it seems like it takes him longer than they expect. It's always, we think he's going to be out here then. It's another couple of weeks. It's the same thing in this case. He's got a knee issue that's going on. They thought that he would be back practicing by now. He wasn't out there. Doesn't mean he's not going to play on Sunday. And same thing with Juwan Jennings. He's got a couple of different injuries going on. He's been banged up kind of perpetually. You know, the good news, you mentioned Kendrick Bourne, who we had on the Insiders the other night. One of, you know, the happiest guy, the eternal optimist. You know, he's just, you know, blown away. What did he have, like 10 catches for 140 yards or something crazy last week? Think about who they're throwing to. It was Kendrick Bourne, who wasn't on the team at the start of camp. Sky Moore, who they traded for during camp. Marquez Valdes-Scantling wasn't there during camp. And DeMarcus Robinson was suspended at the start of the season. They're literally an entire JV number two unit wide receiver group, and they find ways to get those guys out there. Again, yeah, I remember saying this to Kyle Shanahan one time. I think it was during the Brandon Ayuk stuff last year, and I was sitting in his office, and I'm like, dude, well, you're as good at scheming up people as anybody. And he's like, no, it's a lot easier if you have good players to scheme it up for. And he's right. You know, elite receivers make everybody look better, but he finds a way. You know, if you've got a trait, if you've got speed, if you've got route running ability, he's able to put you in positions to succeed. And that's one of the things that makes Kyle Shanahan special as a coach.
Tom Pelissero joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich. Geno, how long does he have in Vegas?
It's bad right now.
It's not good. It's just not
good. He's really struggling, which, you know, so I was at the week one game in Foxborough where it was bumpy in the first half, but Geno stepped up and made a bunch of big time throws in the second half, you know, to guys like, you know, Trey Tucker, and other players that, you know, people, I don't think the average fan has heard of. Not having Brock Bowers is a big deal. You know, that's the straw that stirs the drink. He got banged up, and I think in the fourth quarter of that game, has played, you know, several games, but wasn't himself. Then misses last week's game. No sign that he'll be back. When you lose your number one weapon, it's not a wide receiver per se, but Brock Bowers is essentially a wide receiver. He just plays a little bit different spot on the field. That does have a ripple effect on everyone else because, quite frankly, they're just not that talented outside of Bowers, you know, at the receiving positions. Jacoby Myers is a really good, solid receiver. He's not getting targeted for whatever reason right now. Beyond that, you're relying on a bunch of young guys. Michael Mayer, their number two tight end, has also been out in recent weeks here. But a lot of this just boils down to Geno, whether it's decision-making or accuracy. He's just not playing like we've seen Geno at his best. You know, the Raiders are paying him $40 million this year. They gave him a raise. There was no signing bonus in that deal, and he's not due, you know, guaranteed money beyond this season. So absolutely, there's a scenario in which they could move on from Geno Smith. I don't get any sense right now that they're thinking about, you know, benching him, you know, going to Kenny Pickett. I don't know that Kenny Pickett is necessarily an upgrade. He didn't have a camp to kind of get used to how they're doing things with the Raiders either. At some point, some of the scrutiny is probably going to fall on Chip Kelly in this entire thing. You know, they've got a young guy in Ashton Jeanty who's a ton of fun to watch, especially over these last couple of games. You know, how do you leverage him, take some of the pressure off of Geno Smith? Pete Carroll made reference to that the other day when he was asked about how do you get Geno on track. He said, we got to run the football more and we got to run it better. That's kind of the answer that Pete has for everything from an offensive perspective. You go back to all those years with Russell Wilson, as much as people wanted to let Russ cook, a big part of the reason they were successful was they were the best running team in the NFL for a large portion of that time. And they didn't need Russ to go out and throw the ball over the yard for the first three quarters of the game. And until, hey, fourth quarter, we're down. All right, Russ, now do your magic. You know, it's kind of the same thing with Geno Smith, who was in that same type of a structure here. Right now, for whatever reason, they don't really have that balance. Bowers' absence is a huge part of it. But certainly the longer that the struggles would go on for Geno Smith, the more we're talking about are the Raiders back in the quarterback market in 2026.
Tom, thanks for your time. Have a safe flight here. And don't forget, like, you know, I bring the guys food, so just don't come empty handed.
Wow.
Well, you got to set that bar. That's not cool.
I got to throw darts. You come at the seat, yep. You got to
defend. What did you bring them? What
donuts,
did you bring?
Donuts.
Oh, donuts. Yeah. We love donuts.
Yeah, that's what they need.
Yeah, we love donuts.
Wow.
Because they all need baked goods.
Susie, not only does he not bring us food, I got to drive him around like I'm Miss Daisy. Or he's Miss Daisy.
All right. We'll find
it's ridiculous.
We'll find
you have it so good when I'm here. And, you know.
And we love that. We love that, Susie. Yeah, thanks.
Right. Tommy.
Safe flight, pal.
Safe flight, buddy.
Bye,
Tommy.
See you guys. See you tomorrow.
Thanks again. Oh, yeah, Tommy P.
I mean, does
Tommy
he think P. we're like gremlins? Yeah. Like, don't feed us after midnight or something?
Yeah, I think he does.
With the donuts?
They just take us for granted. But you know who doesn't? Susie Schuster.
That's right.
Yeah.
See. Normally we, I hate to tell you guys, but normally we start drinking around now on the Rich Eisen Show when I sit here. Usually it's a champagne mimosa situation. I thought it's the first time back on the mothership. I should probably, like, you know,
be professional a little bit.
It's not easy for me.
I know. I wanted to. I sent the group chat. I was like, let's do this.
You're ready to go.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. And I got shot down.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
But guess what? The next time, we popping bottles.
Okay, fine. Let's talk happy things like the ALDS defeat of the Yankees when we come back.
Wow.
Yes.
My daughter's middle name is Mattingly.
That guy, the Dodgers, is still around.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers 24/7 protection when you bundle home, auto, and motorcycle. Learn more at progressive.com. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. He is in London getting ready to call a bunch of games, and because he was there, he could not cry into his pillow last night as the Yankees went home. Their championship drought now 16 seasons, the third longest in franchise history. You know, Chris, I know that you are bereft, heartbroken to say the least, watching Vladdy Guerrero Jr. doing the chant on the MLB postgame show wearing goggles. Look at the smile on your face.
Take your champagne in your eyes. You know what I mean? It hurts. You got to bust out the goggles.
Yeah, kids asked me last night if I'd ever been in one of those clubhouses, and I absolutely have several times.
Pre-goggles.
Pre-goggles.
I know that, Susie, because
I remember. You were with me, Mikey.
I was with you, yes.
Were you doing Angels?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Lakers.
And Lakers. Hey, I've had some champagne and beer poured on my head. It's been great.
This ain't her first rodeo, is what she's telling you folks.
Right. What's that, babe?
I said, it's not your first rodeo, is what you're telling
all of us. It's not my first rodeo, TJ.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Champagne gets in your eyes. It gets a little bubbly. Yeah. And by the way, nothing quite as glamorous as driving home from Anaheim, reeking of beer after having one poured over your head after the Angels win the World Series. Thanks, Troy Percival. I had to throw that suit away. That said, Yankees and Aaron Boone expects to come back, but boy, you're sad over there.
Yeah, you know, look, Aaron Boone expected to be back. Great, love it. I think they should extend him, honestly. I think that Boone does a hell of a job. Brian Cashman, hell of a job. Lifetime contracts. Why would you ever get rid of these guys? Continuity, TJ, in this business is an underrated aspect for success.
Absolutely. Right. You do realize that the Red Sox are already on the beach
somewhere. And
the Yankees
are so good at just making the playoffs.
Well,
and not doing anything else.
Let's take a listen.
You
got to
extend these guys.
Are you done over there?
No.
All right. Do you see what I'm saying here? It's like I'm just going to crack the whip with this guy.
You don't like the Yankees either.
Not really. Not really.
Yeah.
So, I like the old.
Do I, right
I
now.
Like. I like. Listen. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I like whoever I'm covering at the time for baseball because I'm into it. But like, no, I'm from New England. What do you want from me?
Exactly.
Even though my daughter's middle name is Mattingly, but that was a whole different conversation. And that was I had to convince him that he had the rights to name a kid because it was the third one.
Well, you talked him into a third one.
I talked him into a third one. And so I agreed that he could name her Mattingly if it was a girl. But whatever. Here's what Aaron Boone had to say.
The ending's the worst, right? Especially when you know you have a really good group and a group of guys that really came together so well, you know, at the right time, you know, the final couple of months, you know, this was a team, and it's a team that played for one another, did a lot of really good things, and we got beat here. You pour so much into to go on this long journey to have a chance to chase a dream and win a championship, and when it ends this way, it's always, you know, it's terrible. It hurts, but I know for me personally, I know for a lot of those guys, it also continues to ignite your fire to want to get back and play in these meaningful games and have a chance at glory.
Boy, the first two games of the series for the Yankees, Toronto outscored them 23-8. Are you crying over there? What's going on? What's happening? Oh, yeah. Boys of summer, you guys.
Wow.
I mean,
wrong
this
back
is,
page in there. Are you okay over there? You didn't even hold your hand.
Oh, poor Aaron.
I'm back to the thing where I'd rather not be in it and lose like they lost the last 2 years. Then I don't want to be in it. Yeah, don't put us in it.
You're not in it. You're
done. I'm not a team.
Teams over there.
I still have a team.
You're not even in it. No, you're not.
Wait, so it's a 16-year drought, right? How old is Cooper again?
Cooper is 14.
Do you think he'll ever see a Yankees championship in his lifetime?
Well, not I don't know. My nephews, Jack and Sam, they were born and suddenly the Patriots won everything. But was it Belichick or was it Brady? We're going to talk about that ahead.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.